Today's segment is dedicated to Bobette Simmons. Rest in honor. Healthy-ish is recorded live from Langford Studios in Cedar Hill, Texas. Welcome to Healthy-ish, an educational podcast that navigates love, life, and everything in between. I'm your co-host, Prissy, and together I will be joined with Dr. Key, a relationship intelligence expert. Join us as we tackle some very controversial topics and stories. Due to some of the sensitive discussions regarding relationships and domestic violence, we advise listeners to use caution while listening. Today's anniversary episode features Dr. Key and Dr. O's celebration of marriage and some key takeaways with a special message from Dr. O. We are going to begin with our relationship intelligence expert, Dr. Key, and also co-founder of Langford Avenue, as we begin our discussion regarding responsibilities in relationships. Dr. Key, can you share with us what responsibilities do we as individuals bear when it comes to dating and relationships?
We have a responsibility to be firm on who we are. You know, when I was growing up, they used to say a man's word is his bond. Mm-hmm. You are mm-hmm. nothing without your word. Did you ever hear that? You may be a couple of generations behind me, Prissy.
Right. I will have to say that I became more familiar with that term when I was actually an adult. I don't know that I really recall hearing it as a child.
Yeah. And you know, why is that important?
Mm-hmm. Why is that? I really think it's important because, you know, that's kind of how you can gauge a person, their character, their integrity based off of their behavior and their actions. And so you cannot necessarily separate the person from their behavior, but from their actions, their words, all of that. They have to match up.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think about jobs now checking your credit history, and people mm-hmm. are upset about that. They're like, mm-hmm. why are you checking my credit history? You know, do you think that's fair?
You know, I'm familiar with that as well. I really think that, you know, that kind of is unfair, for an employer to want to check that. In my opinion, I would have to say that they're looking for a particular type of candidate if they're going to go to that extreme, just because, they want to see that individual, has a stable, you know, track history or track record in terms of, paying their bills, if so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, is it stable? Can we expect the same stability from that person? And I think that they're looking for that stability, and they tend to look at it and their in perspective of their credit history.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. when you're dating and you're trying to make something a go for the long haul, you're trying to figure out, how do I know what this person is about? How do I know if this is going to be the person for me? They're going to stick around, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. You these people are checking credit for a car that they're expecting a payment maybe for 3 to 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And here we are, maybe having children.
Right.
And having to be in a relationship for over 20, 18 years for sure. And we don't check anything.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about relationships and parenting and love?
Well, that is definitely like almost an afterthought in a way. We don't know how those things come together, and how they may work mm-hmm. together in a way too. I mean, also when you marry, you do join finances. You know, you want to be able to purchase a home together, or you'll have to join that line of credit at some point, or not everyone does, but that's the idea. So if you're not able to do that, then it, you know, obviously it presents some sort of issues. It's certainly a risk. My brother would tell me, he's recently remarried, but before he got married, he told me that when he was dating women, he would look to see if a woman paid with her credit card. Like if they went somewhere and she had a credit card, he would look to see if she had one. Oh. Because to him, that would mean that this person had good enough credit to at least have a credit card.
Oh,
and that's what he said. And I thought that was pretty fascinating for him. And the interesting thing is that he had bad credit. And he had even, you know, went through like foreclosure and things like that and bankruptcy, and he got his credit together.
Okay.
And so I think that through that experience, he learned a lot about people in credit, you know. And so he started to, you know, become judgmental in a sense when he started dating people. Okay, you know, he wanted to date someone that had good credit. So I think it's because at that point he had good credit. Right. And so he wanted to date somebody that else that had good credit also. So he was looking to see, did this person have a credit card? You know, So, you know, I never got into the specifics on that one, but I did think that was interesting that he had said that. And, you know, you never know when you're dating someone, if that's something that that other person might be looking to see, does this person have a credit card, or, you know, how else can I determine if this person has good credit?
Right. Because, you know, you can use a debit card as a credit card.
So sure.
It's not a true indicator, but it's interesting that he was looking for that in dating.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm not necessarily sure that's an unfair thought process for him, considering how important it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
With good credit, you have, I never forget, I worked with a lady that did not have good credit, and she and I paid the same thing for our cars, and the vehicles were like, it's huge in terms of quality.
Mm-hmm.
She had a small little compact car that I don't even know the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, not bragging or anything. It wasn't a new car, but it was a Lexus GS. And I'm thinking, I'm driving the same car and we both pay $400 a month. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But right. That makes a difference on how so things are so much higher when you don't keep your word. And I think that's applicable in life, in relationships. You know, we lose a lot more when we are not persons of our word. When Dr. O was talking about how he keeps his part as God has so desired him to. I love that because it goes back to our conversation last segment about a proverbial woman, you know. It doesn't say if they're good, if they're nice, if they're kind, if they're sweet. It says to be this is who she is, you know, giving no inclination of what type of guy she has, you know. And he's saying, and Oliver, basically Dr. O is saying, you know, you get it back. I was informed in one of our trainings, dynamic marriage trainings, and I can't actually refer to the scripture, but it says that humans are naturally inclined to help people that help them, naturally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you help me, I'm naturally inclined to want to help you back. It was a movie out called Derailed. Have you ever seen it?
Mm. No.
It's a great movie. But what happens is this guy gets on a train and he doesn't have his wallet. Well, a lady that had been riding the train with them for a while, when they came to check for the fare, for your money, he didn't have it. And so she gave him the money. Mm-hmm. And he was going to miss a very important meeting had he had to get off the train. And so after that, you know, next day he get on the train, he speaks to her, sits by her, give her the money back, thanks her. They talk for a couple of weeks, you know, going into work and everything. Sure enough, he gets on the train and she's so sad. She's crying. He's, what's wrong? What's wrong? Eventually, she tells him, I'm going to be evicted and this is going to happen and I need this amount of money. And sure enough, here he comes to the rescue. That one $10 that she used to help him end up being so much more. So the Bible talks about us being innate and wanting to help each other, especially if people are helping us. So you have a really different character in your presence that does not want to please you if you please them. I mean, it's to say they're going against nature. It's a natural instinct to feel inclined to help people that help you. You feel indebted to them, you know.
Right.
There are a lot of people that don't want people to help them because they don't want to be indebted to anybody. Yeah.
Right.
So when you're doing your part, the opposite is actually true with regard to feeling like a fool. The truth of the matter is, once you've done all you could do, there's a peace that will come to you eventually. I'm not suggesting it will be immediate. But there is a peace that'll come to you that I did all I could.
Right.
Have you ever had a traumatic experience to happen to you?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And have you, in that experience afterwards, had to play it? It played over and over in your head. And you thought, what could I have done different? Could I have done this? Could I have done that? Have you ever done that? Okay. So in instances of marriage, when people have divorced, they've left, passed away, people are gone, they're asking themselves over and over, what could I have done differently? Could I have done something? And if you have done everything, then the story ends with you did all you could do.
Right.
You did all you could do. But if you don't do all you can, what do you think comes with that?
You just never at rest. You're always asking yourself, could you have done more? And you never get over it. You never move on. It just haunts you.
Exactly. You live with regret.
Right.
And so regret is one of those things you never want to have. You want to live life with as little regret as possible. Mm-hmm. And so in this particular instance, marriage and relationship, instead of me thinking, I do all this and he don't appreciate it and he make a fool out of me and leave me for another woman. You know how you think those things, especially when you hear about stories that it happens to. You have to know within yourself, I did all I could. So it's nothing else I could do. There should be some piece that I couldn't do anymore.
Right.
You know, and then maybe God is going to bless me with something better. Right. Mm-hmm. But if I don't feel like I've done all I could, why would he bless me with something better? You know, so I need to make sure that I am doing my part so that if anything happens, it's not because of me. You know, I didn't lose it because I wasn't a good steward over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not because of being negligent and unappreciative. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm looking, if I was a good steward over it and I lost it, I'm looking for a bigger blessing, right? I'm looking for an upgrade.
And I really think that you never really understand how important that is until you speak with someone who will confide in you that they have not done all that they could do in certain relationships, and to see how, even though they've moved on and it may be 2-3 years removed from the, that relationship, they're still talking about it. They're still hung up on if they could have talked more, did this more, you know, if they had not a stepped out of the relationship. And so it affirms that, you know what, there is benefit, you know, personal benefit. Forget about the other person, but me, you know, because at the end of the day, I do have to live with myself, you know, and the choices that I make. And, you know, certainly doing all that I can in a relationship. I think what ends up happening is we also begin to think about how does that make us look in a negative fashion? You know, there's a lot of terms for men who are too loving in relationships. The term is called a simp. You know, you hear that a lot with women. You know, we're just like a doormat or something of that nature. You know, we're just kind of just doing, or we're overly kind of doing our thing, doing our position, or we're out doing it or whatever. And I think that what people don't realize is, just like you said, you know, depending on what it is you're doing, you know, there's a personal benefit from doing all that that God is calling you to be doing in your marriage or your long-term or committed relationship with that person. Because once that relationship, or should that relationship end, you're going to find that you're going to move on in a much more of a productive way than the other person who just didn't, you know, and it could really, I found that just in speaking to other individuals that have had similar experiences that it can haunt you. It certainly can. And who wants that? You trying to have a new relationship with someone else and you can't even enjoy it, you know. You're in the past, you know.
I'm telling you. It's true. And I will say this too, because this is, I can honestly say this from my first relationship. Mm-hmm. I actually bore a lot of guilt,
mm-hmm.
a lot of ignorance. Mm-hmm. Same as with credit. You know, if you haven't been taught what mm-hmm. credit is supposed to be, you really can't, it shouldn't be held against you. You know, mm-hmm. because you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you should be taught to keep your word. If I say I'm going to pay you every month on the 5th, then that's what I should do. I should not say what I want. I'm going to do just to get what I want.
Right.
And in relationships, we have to remember that your word is what keeps that thing going. If I change my word, then we don't have anything. We don't, if one person keeps their word and the other one changes it on a whim, we don't have a car,
mm-hmm.
you know, eventually right. that's going to be gone. And it's hard to build anything on that. Mm-hmm. And we just really need to do our homework in terms of getting to know people and talking about these things. Maybe we could go to credit class together to learn about these things. It's not mm-hmm. a deal breaker. The irony right. with your brother is if he had met me during my single days, he would have seen me pay cash probably. Mm. Because once I learned about credit and I have established credit, I don't pay. I do not pay for things with cash, with a credit card anymore because mm-hmm. the interest rate, right?
Right.
They want you to pay them every month the same amount and you can have good credit. Well, they're charging you $15, $20, even some more than that, a month for that. So what I do is I may buy it and then I'll pay it off if it's a large ticket item, but I don't typically purchase with credit unless it's a large item like a vehicle or something like that because of the interest rate. I may have gotten it on sale, but by the time I financed it, I paid twice the price, you know?
Right. I mean, I don't think that it's fair. I understand the reasons why, you know, people are looking into credit as a way to kind of gauge that person's background, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I do think in some areas it's unfair, you know? And so I think it's just something that you have to really tread lightly on. I was surprised that I thought maybe it was a bit hypocritical of him to say that, given that mm-hmm. he at one point had bad credit. Mm-hmm. So, but it just shows how people, in my opinion, are judgmental in relationships, and rightfully right. so. You know, mm-hmm. because they don't want to have to deal with that, you know, and you know, you shouldn't have to, but it happens. You know, you can be with someone who does have good credit and all of a sudden they lose their job, they lose their inability to, you know, make stable payments on whatever. And then they before you know it, their credit isn't good anymore, you know, or their credit score goes down. You know, there's a number of things to consider, sure. you know, sure. It is a fluid situation. You know, it happens. People lose their houses and things, especially during certain times of the economy, it can happen. And that's what happened with my brother too, is that, you know, he had lost his job and then, you know, it was like a downhill spiral after that, you know? And so I think he was going through a divorce too at the time. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of things that can happen, major things and shifts that can happen that can turn a situation over, you know? So it definitely, in terms of even just employment, it shouldn't be the end all be all. And I probably would stay away from an employer that was using that mechanism to exclude people. Because in my opinion, I would. I've never had that happen to me. But I think I would exclude wanting to apply because to me, that's off-putting. You know, I feel like you should be more so looking at my experience. You should be looking more so, or if it's educational requirements, you know, you should be looking at my interview skills and, you know, and because it doesn't apply to everyone. I feel like it's more of an exclusionary measure. Really? I would say so, that it's likely in some ways, because that's what interviewing is. It is to exclude people. Not everybody. It can only be one person that gets the job in some situations. So I think that it could likely be used to exclude you from being a candidate. And so therefore, I mean, I've heard of it. I don't know how often that's being utilized, but I have stayed away from any sort of job posting that says we check credit or we do a soft check or something like that. So it's kind of strange, but I mean, I understand, with that being said, why it's there, but I feel like it could exclude people that might be otherwise qualified for the job.
It's true. I agree with you. I think that you're right. It could be. I wouldn't put past employers, but when you have a history of people coming in with confidential information you know, a lot of people will interview and say certain things, but how am I supposed to know if you really are what you say you are? Everybody says the same, the right things.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's toolage on how to interview. So you can have model interviewers, but how do I know if you're going to be this person? That I think Jake said it this way. A lot of people interview for the job, but don't show up to the job.
It's true. I mean, you know? I agree with you. I have a friend who works in HR. And
especially if you work from home. Because you're not supervised.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a friend that works in HR, and she told me because she works in HR, she can interview extremely well. Mm-hmm. And so she usually is able to secure a role that way. Mm-hmm. However, I will say that she's even admitted to not being the best employee. And so it's kind of like what you're saying, you know, somebody can interview extremely well because they've learned how to craft that. And then once they get on a job, you know, they're not able to maintain that position for long periods of time, you know. So I could see it go so many different directions, you know, and especially if you have an employer who's had a history of just not getting quality people or whatever kind of content or whatever is that they're doing at that job, that they need people that have good credit, then I feel like, you know, there's certainly a lot of reasons, you know, so many layers to that.
Right. It sounds like we're talking more about business than we are relationships, but it's so comparative, you know. In fact, it's so much more important. If businesses are doing that, I think that it's not too far-fetched for us to do that. I don't think that should be like your end all, but it should go again into a consideration of some of the other things that you're considering with this person. You know, you got bad credit, you don't work, you stay with your parents. You know, a lot of these things are showing me a pattern. Now, if that's just been a year because you went through a divorce, I get that. But let me let you get yourself together and let's get back together. You know,
right.
Later.
Exactly.
You got yourself together.
That's true.
But we can't keep ignoring the signs and expect to get the love and respect that we need.
Right.
I was talking to a young lady yesterday in one of our life coaching sessions, and she likes to help people, right? So she meets a guy, she helps them, and then she gets them where they need to go. You know, and then she's upset with them and talk crazy to them because they don't show the loyalty and all that. And so I agree with helping people. Back to what we talked about in the last segment, I just don't think that it's a wise idea to build a relationship on helping people, because now I don't know why we're together. Are we together because you feel a little obligated? You know, and obligation is not going to make you happy in this relationship, right? Obligation is not going to make you want to come home at night. So we got a whole lot of issues we're going to deal with just because
helped you. Dr. Key, if you could, I mean, because since we are on the subject of, you know, believing people in terms of their actions and their behaviors, you know, what if that person doesn't reveal those things to you? Because we also have instances where people are not upfront about certain things, you know, they may lie, you know, so when a woman or a man, you know, is in that position, you know, what should they be looking for in terms of behavior to determine, you know, what is this person's intent, you know, and being in this relationship with me?
Right. So continuity. I mean, mm-hmm. we're comparing employment, right? And what mm-hmm. do they look for? How stable are you? Mm-hmm. You know, how consistent is your story on a day-to-day basis? See, time is our best element. So mm-hmm. If we're intimate on average, according to statistics, on our second date, let me repeat that. According to statistics, Americans are intimate on average on the second date. Mm-hmm. So how much have I learned about you on the set by the second date?
Right.
That means I'm possibly pregnant by you by the second date.
Wow.
I mean, you know, because accidents happen.
Yes.
So if that is the case, I know basically nothing about you. Mm-hmm. And I am trying to build something on that. Mm-hmm. And we want to know why we're frustrated, why we're angry, why we don't understand each other. Mm-hmm. And it's so, I just cannot emphasize enough how absent male figures are in a family, mm-hmm. how that's a whole different level of training in terms of what is expected of that person. There's a whole level of frustration there because you're talking mm-hmm. pig Latin. You know, what are you talking about? I don't know what you mean. You want me to do this? You want me to do that? What are you talking about? I never had to do that. You complain all the time, you know. But that they're used to having that protection in the house. They're used to having that provision in the house. And so it's going to always be an ongoing struggle.
Dr. Key, what is the best way to determine if an individual is being genuine in a relationship, or how can anyone determine if their intentions are pure?
I would say that school zone is the best way to determine whether a person is consistently there and stable, and you can see those signs. So back that analogy that Dr. O always referred to, I love it, because if you're going slow, you can mm-hmm. stop and break if a little kid run out in the street, you know. You can stop and break if a car swerves out. If you're going slow, you can pretty much see everything around you, the flowers, mm-hmm. everything, what's different, what's new. But if I meet someone, we're intimate in 2 or 3 dates, maybe even a week, 2 weeks, we're intimate. How much have I learned about you? How much have I learned that and saw was true in a couple of weeks, you know?
Right.
You know, so there have been so many stories of people being told one thing and they believe it. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the entertainer David Ruffin? He was a part of the Temptations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was looking at his story the other day. So interesting. A lady said she moved to his state, his city, and he told her he had no children and wasn't married. She moved to his where he lived in the same city per his request, and he had both children and a wife. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not to say it couldn't happen to any of us, mm-hmm. but I've had so many victims of family violence come to mm-hmm. us and say, if they would just take their time and get to know the person. Mm-hmm. I learned so much about this person after the fact. You know, yeah. they were married, they had mental disorders, mm-hmm. you know, they had been in the prison. I didn't know that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Well, also, I think another thing that can be used, and I mean, it's not foolproof, it's not 100%, but it's also, you know, using your local or your county records that are generally free, depending on where you live, where you can enter in a name search to find out if this person has a criminal record. Those are some, and some people feel differently about individuals that have records, but that could be somewhat of a starting point. I have a girlfriend who, she met a guy that she was dating on a dating website, dating app or whatever, and come to find out, his name wasn't even his, that wasn't even his real name, you know, and she had even met him in person and began dating him and was, you know, they had a bit of a long relationship, and she learned that wasn't even his real name. So, and I remember that she did try to check, him out a little bit in the beginning, but because he gave a fictitious name, of course there was nothing to, nothing to reveal. So, I mean, that is something that, can be, it's a tool that can be utilized. Of course, it's not foolproof, but you can, and I really would encourage women to do that if at all possible, or men, to do background checks, you know, on an individual, in the county. And like I said, they usually are free. And then if there is a fee, it's usually worth it. So
right.
I think that's something to consider.
You absolutely. I do agree with you. But I am also thinking now, some things that are not criminal that I need to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like moral. Okay. Having 15 children is not criminal.
Right.
But
you could find that out too. I mean, if a person does have children and they're concealing that from you, you could find out if that person is paying child support or has a child support order. Like I said, it's not foolproof with your county, because those are public records, you know? So there, I mean, I'm not saying it's foolproof. I mean, it's going to be some, if a person has maybe, let's say 6 children and you only can find a child support order for 2 of them, that's the gap, right? That's their inconsistency. So I mean, it's not, and I'm glad you said that, because some people got traffic tickets and you know, a bunch of stuff that's not really, you know, doesn't, may not equal out to the bigger picture, you know. But like you said, morally speaking, you know, people are, could be married. That's public record. You can find out if somebody is really married to you. Married to somebody else, you know. Yeah. All those things are, those are matter of public records. You can find that out. If that person even owns property in another state or county, that's matter of public record. You know, those are things that you definitely can find out, that a person can do, you know, and it can, and oftentimes it's free. Because that's a common thing. People might lie about having children or how many children they have for a number of reasons. But, you know, usually they are paying child support. Now, I mean, not all the time, but, you know, you can certainly get somewhere.
Okay, for sure. Okay, so I didn't know about that. I didn't know that that was public record to find out. But yeah, man, you know, and that's what I'm afraid of, doing, doing all the sneaky stuff. But it's necessary.
Yeah.
I think that a lady that was actually killed about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, 2009, she found out a week later, you know, about this guy and wanted to divorce him after they married, you know? And it's like, he was like, oh, hell no. You know what I mean? So you really, it behooves you to kind of do a little research beforehand. You know, it brings to mind how when you were growing up, well, when I was growing up, people would ask, who are your people? You know, where are you from? You know, with my mom, especially when they were growing up, people asked, where are you from? Because your name, your last name meant something, you know, and they could tell you what those people were about, right? So that goes back to their credibility, you know, they smart or they're crooked or they're this. You can tell a person's character based on their name.
Right.
I can say this. I grew up being raised to love everybody, and I did not get the instructions clearly about who to develop a who to not develop a relationship with. And I often thought you love people for who they are and you try to make it work. Since then, I have developed a totally different concept of how I think relationships should work. I think that we should be very careful about who we allow in our circles. I do think we should love everybody and be friendly to everyone. But mm-hmm. I do also think that it is important for us to be more conscious mm-hmm. about our compatibility in terms of, one, if they love us, if we don't have mutual love, we can just go on. If one is calling the other one more than the other one, one is more busy than the other one, oh, maybe they drop off. I hear from you every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Maybe we talk, have a disagreement. I'll hear from you for 3 or 4 weeks, a month, and now I'm hearing from you. Those are red flags. Mm-hmm. These are things that you're not going to, I may not be able to find on records on you, but it's telling mm-hmm. you something about you. Okay. Mm-hmm. You may be fearful. It may be telling me you're fearful. It may be telling me you have somebody else. I don't mm-hmm. know. I won't know until you tell me, and I'm not going to assume. All I know is I need somebody consistent. And mm-hmm. if you can't be that person, I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm just going to have to find somebody that is. And I can't find them if I'm playing with you.
Right.
And so then I want somebody that's going to, A, love me. Because, again, too, love is the only quality that's going to make it through all these tough times we're going to endure together. Because life is tough. And I don't need anybody that's not going to be there with me and for me through my tough times, as I will be there with them and for them through their tough times, right?
Right.
If you're going to make my tough times tougher, then you are no good to me. Mm-hmm. I remember one of my relatives passed away, and I had her mom passed away, and one of her old friends came to the house to visit, and she was so nervous because she thought her husband was going to be angry, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, this is a tough time. This is not a time to be, make times tougher, right? Mm-hmm. No time to be jealous. This is mm-hmm. a tough time. People coming by to pay their condolences, you don't do that. So love is what get you through those things. That love has to be there. I mean, in life coaching with the young lady the other day, it's so funny. I asked her, I said, well, if you are doing all the helping, and she says, and I get furious after I've helped them and they don't show their appreciation, it gets bad. She says, I give it to them. And I think, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So I said, you don't build a relationship unless you have what? And she could not answer the question. She did. She said, loyalty, trust. She named everything but the thing that you have to have. And I said, what about love? She said, I swear not blame, but I just didn't even think of it. Good God Almighty. You cannot build a relationship unless you have that unconditional love for one another. And then it's not just one person that has to have it. Both of you have to. So that's the catch. This person, I love him so much. Oh, well, if he don't love you back, boo, keep it moving. It has to be mutual.
Yes.
You know, and I can't emphasize that enough. It has to be mutual. Now, so if that love is there, that consistency is there, that continuity is there, they're independent, they can take care of themselves. That's the other thing. I don't have any question about if they're there for me for convenience. Mm-hmm. Because I may not be able to take care of them. What happens then? You know?
Right.
So.
It's true. What I mean, I think we even talked about this before, because I'm sure some of the listeners are kind of wondering, what if, you know, they got into a relationship with someone and they had all those things? You know, they seemingly had the good credit, or they seemingly, you know, had their own. And then, you know, maybe several months or a year or so into the relationship, all of that is gone. I mean, you know, are we now talking about why breaking up? You know, is that, you know, what happens then?
Okay.
You know, can that get messy?
Okay. So let me ask you, you're saying this to me.
Mm-hmm.
When they had it all, that means they had the mutual love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
they took their time to get to know each other and know about each other, right?
Okay.
Yes, is that what you're saying they had?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm just more so, I mean, that's a good question, you know, because if somebody's having that issue, that's another thing to point out. Well, did you have those things?
And see, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people are, you know, and this happens a lot, especially with children. People will say, they had it all. They had a loving mama. They had a this, they had a that. You don't know what they had. If you're not in that household, you don't know what they had. You can only know based on what you see, what they tell you. And, you know, there are a lot of households that have money, and we assume as a culture that they don't have problems.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of people who say, I have the time. I can totally appreciate my mom a whole lot more these days than I did sometimes. But as a child, my mom was very ambitious and she worked really hard. So when I was younger, I often spent time with other people. And people thought I was spoiled because I had with everything that they thought I wanted. But I could count on one or two hands, maybe one hand of our encounters together, you know, my mom and I. And it's because she had money, and so she was gone. She traveled. She hung out with her friends. She clubbed. Now, we did spend, you know, she cooked on Sundays and holidays, and people came over. But nobody knew, you know. I'll never forget one Christmas. She was in California with a friend guy, and a lady said, Keisha, here are your clothes. It was Christmas Day. It was just me and this lady that was a roommate, right? And she took the bag and just opened it up and just dumped the clothes on the floor. And that was my Christmas, right? And I was like, damn. You know, I'm a little girl. I'm a little girl. I'm maybe 10, 11, something like that. I later flew out to California by myself on a plane with her. But, you know, it's just the idea is people thinking one thing because she was successful. But, I mean, people even took me shopping. You know, other people took me shopping. So you just can't assume you know what people have. And a woman may say, I've had this, and I'm glad you brought that up. People will marry because the man loves them so. They like the guy, right? He's cool, but they don't love them so like the man loved them. And they take them for granted. You know, some people call them the yes men. These are men that'll do whatever the woman wants, whatever she wants, give it to her. But she's not reciprocating, right? She's not giving him what he wants. So what happens in those instances is what Dr. O just described. The well dries up, right? And he's getting he's meeting her needs, and he's getting his needs met somewhere else. So when she finds out about it, she's devastated.
Right.
Because all she knows is, I'm happy. I'm happy. I've been happy for a long time. I mean, he does everything I want. So her fall is really far because she's all the way up here thinking everything is great. I get everything I want. What else is there to want?
Right.
So you can never assume what the other person is thinking. That's why it was so important. It's so important for Dr. O to share his perspective because I can sit here and say all day he's the happiest man on earth, but if he's not thinking that or feeling that, and I often ask him, is there anything I can do better? If there's anything more I can do, you know? And of course, I know there is one thing I can do more. I mean, I don't think it's something anybody can get enough of. But he doesn't say it. He just says, I'm great. You're a great wife. And I make being a great husband easy. Because I don't take them for granted. And I think that's the biggest issue. We have to remember two things. And this is what I live by and I've always been this way. And so I'm thinking that God created this in me for the message to give the world. I think about when God first gives me things, how I treated things and people. And then I also think about if they were to leave. Mm-hmm. I think of that in the same breath or day. If this is my last time talking to this person, how would I want that mm-hmm. conversation to be? If mm-hmm. this is my last time, first time seeing them, would I talk to them that way? Right? Mm-hmm. And my biggest perspective on it is I do not want to treat a stranger better than I treat my own. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be treated worse than, I don't want him to treat me worse than he would treat a stranger. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So sometimes people are so nice, you know, you meet them, they're like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, sure. No problem. And then you get it home. Yeah, no, mm-hmm. You get it. I don't want it. Shut up. Mm-hmm. You know, and those disrespectful judgments, those are things that eat away at a relationship. We call them love busters, right? Mm-hmm. So these are the words that we'll say, stupid, dumbass, sucker, retarded. You know, you may not curse them out, but you calling them, they don't make no sense. You're saying stuff to demean their judgment, right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. that person is not digging that, it's going to take away from them their love for you. That's mm-hmm. when he says the well will run dry, right?
Right.
And then somebody else starts to fill that well up, you know, with, mm-hmm. you're so sweet. You're so such a gentleman. Because I don't see it anymore because I began to take that thing for granted. I don't see it anymore. Now here we are, you know.
Right.
So it's important that we minimize those disrespectful judgments of name calling. Then there's another love buster that eats away at our relationships, and that's those selfish demands. You know, when I get home, this house better be clean, or you don't do nothing. You better do what I, you know, need you to do, or mm-hmm. I ain't going over there. You don't ever do what I ask you to do. These selfish demands, man. People like, I'm not your kid. But I'm going to tell you this. You'll see far more selfish demands in relationships when the people are meeting and there's the help at the core of it. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm helping, if you're building a relationship with a person that you've helped out, helped to get a job, helped to get a car, helped to have a place to stay, and all this help, that's what I mean by help. Then a level of respect is gone, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now I'm talking to you like a kid.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. so now I'm putting selfish demands on you, you know. Talking to you like a child. If you don't clean this room up, if you don't wash them dishes, if you don't this, you don't do that, you know. I don't want to talk to you. I ain't feel like talking because you talk too much. A lot of those selfish demands, they come along with that lack of respect. So,
I mean, you're right about that. I mean, I think on that note, that's a really good way to kind of bring it into the final thoughts. And you can kind of give us that reminder on that and tell us how to reach you and where to find more information.
Absolutely. I just want to encourage all relationships to hang in there, love one another. That's the objective of any relationship. If you find the love is not there, you definitely want to seek professional help. We do provide couples coaching, virtual couples coaching, because sometimes it's just the little things that we work the kinks out with that help the relationship mm-hmm. to prosper. We are such believers of this when both of us have had failed marriages and know that it could easily go south. We don't take each other for granted and we value each and every moment that God gives us. And in doing so, we invest in ourselves. We honor God our word, and we honor one another. And if there's anything that we could do, you can call us, 214-854-6309. Email us at lankfordavenue@yahoo.com, lankfordavenue@yahoo.com, and we'll be more than happy to help you.
Now a special word from the co-founder of Lankford Avenue, Dr. O. Dr. O, what can you share with us about what it means to be a man participating in a committed, loving relationship or marriage? Can you share with us?
Certainly. Now, to answer whether or not I've always felt the way that I'm about to talk about is no. Being stuck in the status quo, which a lot of people don't know this other side of marriage or life or happiness. What a lot of people hear and they go on is other people's problems. You know, people, you know, it's kind of like the media. The problems, trouble, that stuff sells. The people like to hear that. So when people are talking about their marriage with their problems and their issues, that's what people are basing marriage on. A lot of times, people that are the happiest, they're not going to talk to you about it because, for one, you wouldn't believe it. You don't want to hear it. So the happy couples tend to stay to themselves. But we as a happy couple choose to share this information because we want you to hear a side of the happiness in marriage. So, and it's being with the right person. Mm-hmm. Can't just settle. I think we talked last session about settling for different things because you need that person for one thing or another, which makes it conditional. But this is actually true love. You're with the person because you truly love them and you want to be with them and you'd rather be with them than without them. And of course, I didn't never know that this existed until I, you know, put faith in God and moved forward in a relationship that I'm actually thriving in. So this is what happy marriage looks like.
So what would you say has been the key to our success with respect to God, of course, being the key? When people say that, what do they mean by God being the key?
Well, I mean, for me, God being the key, meaning that he set a path for us to follow. He set the example for us to follow. And if I'm, when I'm following him and, you know, trying to, you know, uphold his word, then I bring that to my relationship. So that's how I treat my wife. It's like Jesus and the church. The church is Jesus Christ's bride. So with me following Jesus, I have to treat my wife as Jesus treats the church, as my bride. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that I understand that, but tell me in depth what that means, how Jesus set aside an example for us. So you treat me how?
With respect, with trust, you know, honor, you know, to put it in like a queen. To put it in layman terms, I treat you like my queen. If I want to be the king and I want to be treated like the king, I have to treat you like the queen. Meaning, I respect your, you know, the bottom line, respecting each other's differences rather than actually fighting over the differences. Mm-hmm. When you realize that the differences actually help your relationship, then you'll move in a positive direction rather than dwelling on that this person don't do things like you, or they don't think like you, or, you know, that actually expands your relationship to, you know, where y'all can, you know, experience a greater life because y'all have now multiple ways of looking at different things.
So you don't feel like you don't ever worry about getting played or doing too much or giving too much, because I know you do a lot for us. For me in particular, but the girls benefit so much because of what you do for me. Do you ever in the back of your mind wonder, you know, what if I'm doing this and it's not appreciated?
No, I don't do it for that. If you don't appreciate it, eventually it's going to stop. I mean, it's not that, you know, God, you know, not didn't create me to be a fool. If a person is not appreciating it, then I'll pretty much bring those things to an end. And then, of course, it's like you don't have to just take the whole well away. The well can just start to dry up and you can see, oh, the water is not there anymore. So now that's part of communication, where we start to talk about why there's not as much water in the well as it used to be. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that, mm-hmm. and we can get the well back to a point of where it's full. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, that's part of communication, trust, and respect, where you're able to actually be open and talk about those different things. But I don't have a problem with where I'm thinking that it's not appreciated, because I'm shown that it is appreciated. But in the event that it wasn't, it comes to a point where a person not appreciating what I'm doing, we can talk about those things.
Good. Mm-hmm. Because I say that because sometimes I think that gets a lot of people caught up, you know, I don't want to do that and then be played a fool. I think mm-hmm. there's also some reassurance from God that if you do what you're supposed to do according to his will, he'll take care of you. So even if you don't appreciate, he will do his part to make sure you're taken care of. That if that means correcting the other person or bringing it to their attention or awareness or meeting your needs the way he desires to meet them, you know, having your faith in him helps. Do you think that has something to do with it?
It does. It has a lot to do with it. And of course, when you're doing 100% in a relationship, you shouldn't be worried about that. You're supposed to be doing 100%. And if me helping and doing and providing and giving my partner and family what they're needing, then that's what I'm supposed to do anyway. And of course, if the person don't appreciate it and talking about getting played, then they playing they self. It's going to be their loss.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing for us. One of the things that I know both of us are Leos. If anybody know anything about Leos, they don't like to be hurt. Very, very loving and outgoing people, but we're also very strong-willed and very independent. And so both of us had a very strong interest in being happy and not hurt. Right. And so in that being the case, we had safeguards put up when we first met, and it was really hard. It was really hard to let those guards down, especially when other people would remind us of the pain or other people would allow other people to create fear in us about if there are any other good women out there or any other good men. And we had to really be deliberate and make a conscious effort to trust God and know that what he gave us was divine, right?
Right.
Yeah. I got to say this really quick. There are times where we may not see eye to eye. There are times where I may feel like doing something and my husband doesn't feel like doing something. And of course, I may be sad for a moment, but I'll see him come back and try to do it. The other day we were riding and I wanted to see where this house was. It was on a hill, but we couldn't get to it. I was like, how do you get to that house? And it was really funny because I was disappointed that we couldn't find it. And he was ready to go home for whatever reason. I don't even know. And I could see a person getting a whole attitude and being mad about, because we sit in the house all day. We don't have much to do. So this is something to do, right? And we're riding and I'm thinking, man, all I want to know is where the house is, you know? And I have to literally talk myself to rationality. And a couple of days later, we're riding and he just starts to drive that way. And he has the desire to find out where the house is. And I just say to anyone that's pursuing a relationship, you don't push your way all the time. I don't know what it could have been that made him not want to go. He may have had to use the restroom. He may not have felt good. It could have been anything. But I've seen people I mean, I probably have been that person to be so indignant about something so small. So I just want to thank you publicly and wish you a happy anniversary. We're going on 11 years of doing this the exact way God wants us to do it. And so I just want to play this for you. Thank you so very much for being a great husband, a great confidant, supporter, leader, love leader, inspirational. You really are all that, baby. I appreciate it. You've been through some really tough times with me, and I really don't know exactly what I'd do without you. So I thank God for you every day.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yay!
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now he goes back to granddaddy duty.
Thank you, Dr. O, for that.
And I play this song. We can't let our show go without us playing our R&B music, because it reminds us what the great feeling of love and compassion toward one another is. And in this song, it takes a moment. I mean, this song is played on the most important day for a couple throughout the year, and has been for over 20 years. This is an old song, but it reminds us of success. It reminds us that we have overcome some things that most haven't,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it's to be commended. And while I've known people break up
mm-hmm.
because they didn't celebrate their anniversary. It's hilarious. I mean, they've overcome so many other things, but
mm-hmm.
you forgot our anniversary, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it's a big deal. And you know what? To me, I probably would have been one of those persons until I met a few people that
mm-hmm.
had been married for over 30 years, and they didn't even remember when their anniversary was, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, how can I not remember? So mm-hmm. it helps you put in context that remembering your anniversary is not necessarily the key to a successful marriage, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But appreciation for one another every day is.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely.
We'd like to send a special thanks to our supporters and for those listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or Spotify. Have yourself a great day, and be sure to join us next time on Healthy-ish. Healthy-ish is proudly supported by Langford Avenue and the Avenue Proactive Resource Center. For more information, visit our website at www.enddomesticviolenceindallas.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.